Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
This film, Will, are back, and today we close out the Everything You Need to Know About Survivor 50 series with Rizgod. Yeah, we're closing it out, not with Savannah, who ended up winning, but with the fourth place finisher, who's a fan of the Specialist, has been a fan of the Specialist supposedly since the Adam Klein days. So, you know, he has to go last here. And look, we are debuting our new backgrounds. Rizgod gets to be the first one to see the new backgrounds here.
R-I-Z-G-O-D.
I know. It was like Blake asked on one of the last podcasts, what is Rizzo's last name again? It's like, who cares? He's just Rizgod. Like, he's
you guys always know the last name of every player. And I'm just like, I never know anyone's last name. But yeah, as far as we need to know, the last name is G-O-D and the first name is R-I-Z. That's literally all you need to know about Rizzo. That could end the episode right there. Just know how to spell Rizgod and we're good to go.
There you go. And for anybody who is wondering, it's Velovich. I think that's how you say it. Something like that. But it's Rizgod. He's essentially hit the coach status, especially since he's going to play a second time. So close and all that stuff. Yeah. Brennan says first name Rizgod, last name baby. That makes sense to me. That makes sense to me. So it works. So 26-year-old Rizgod coming back to play again, not a winner. And I bet you there's a lot of people who are on season 50 who wish that they would have been able to listen to this podcast before they went out there, because so far from all the pregame press, everybody's just like, well, we're scared of Rizzo and Savannah, nervous about Rizzo and Savannah, don't want to play with Rizzo and Savannah, which is kind of what we expected. And I think Savannah has admitted to everybody out there that she was the winner of her season. Rizgod doesn't have that kind of baggage on his shoulders. So obviously, I think he set the record. At least that's what he says. 8 tribal councils without having to play his idol, plays it on the 9th, which he also didn't need to play it, but just wanted to get out of his hand. So we had something going there, loses at Fire, makes it to Final Four, was in a position where he potentially could have won if he got to the final tribal. But what's your level of concern for Rizgod based on the fact that he doesn't have to tell people he won the season? Cause he did.
I do think it's definitely not, like, I don't know if winning, obviously it's better for him on 50 that he did not win 49. Like, going out there as the player who won literally the last season we played. Savannah's going in. I don't know what you and Blake talked about, but I feel like Savannah's pretty much got no chance. She's basically drawing dead. And not just because she's played before, but she's played before. Like, she's won before, but she's played on this unknown season. And that can sometimes really just, people are like, the devil I know is better than devil I don't know. And I don't want anything to do with Savannah. I don't want anything to do with Rizzo, because I have no idea about their gameplay. At least I've seen everyone else play Survivor once. Mm-hmm. I think, though, and I get why they're saying that pregame interviews, but part of me thinks with the mishmash of this cast, and some people haven't played in such a long time, that the fear of the unknown for Rizzo and Savannah might be diminishing rather quickly, or quicker than it usually would, because it's like, yeah, I've seen Colby play before, but like, what's Colby now like? You know, what's coach like now? What's Jenna Lewis like now? Sure, you could say, well, I've seen Camilla, Kyle, Joe, got you. I've seen Genevieve, got you. But some of these older players, I'm talking like the half that the old school, the 12 not played in a while, or have only played once. Like, do we know the full extent of Rick Devens and what his mission on has come out here, or Chrissy? I don't know if we know that so well. And just because you haven't seen Rizzo Savannah play, it might sound scary on paper, especially when you're being sequestered and doing press photos. You're like, who are those people? But once you get out on the island, I think a lot of that goes away quickly. And I hope it would.
I mean, I hope you're right. I think it goes either way. I think the problem is there's so many people from Heroes Villains on this season. And because of Russell on Heroes Villains, I think that changes things, right? I think the perspective, like, coach, how do you come out as coach and say, sure, I'll just play with Rizgod? I mean, coach got so burned by Russell. Colby got burned by Russell. Stephanie never got burned by Russell. Serene never got burned by Russell because they never played with them. But like, you have two players out there who got burned by Russell. You have two people on the cast who are close with other people who have played with Russell and had that experience the last time. Now, granted, if you're Sandra, you won the game, but you saw how much that messed everything up for some of these players who'd been waiting a long time. I hear what you're saying, because, like, to me, Rick Devens should be more intimidating, but he's saying, I just want to be the fun guy. And I said, now he's my winner pick, because maybe they're not going to take him as seriously as they should. But Rizzo is one of those players where I think once you start to talk to him, it's easy to let your guard down around him, and that's going to help. Savannah, look, I love Savannah. I love, like, when she's talking to Christina and she's going at Christina, but she's saying she's a winner and she's much more aggressive. That's going to be tougher to overcome than Rizgod, who's going to come out there and be, he's on the starting tribe with Colby, and he's a huge Survivor fan who's 26 years old, so he can't have been watching since Colby started. But, like, this is a guy who knows the show inside and out. To be on the same beach as Colby is gonna be insane for him. I don't think they're going to take him as this big threat. Oh, no, we have to worry about him. I think it's going to be more of, wow, I'm glad that I'm with Rizzo. This isn't so bad.
Yeah, and I think that's when, like, if we do these videos and we have individually for each person, you're looking, okay, well, Rizzo is going to have this huge charter because people haven't seen this game. But then you just look at who else is out here. Like, you do have Colby on his tribe. That's a huge name. Let's look at the tribe. I mean, even people are going out to play 50. The last season they saw was Survivor 48. And who won that season? Kyle. And Kyle is also on this starting tribe.
Yeah.
Season before, who was considered maybe the most threatening or the best player on that season? I know Rachel's not here and she won, but Genevieve is on this tribe. Mm-hmm. So, like, I get the heat that Rizzo's going to have, but especially he can confidently say he didn't win. Because what if he's the only one from his cast and there's only two other winners and they're looking at him? It helps that Savannah's here. It helps that Savannah is telling everyone, I won the season. Yeah. That means we know everyone can clock for sure and say Rizzo did not win. And I do think there is something disarming about Rizzo. I think he gives off a very fun, lighthearted, like, yes, I'm a fan, but I just want to be out here and enjoy the experience and play hard. And we know he's absolutely going to strategize his ass off. He's going to play to win. He's not going to play for second or third place. Like, if he's sitting at Final Tribal Council, he wants to at least have a shot to get the jury votes. And that's not, I don't know, it's not the vibe he gives off. And I wonder, again, I think it's a lot of people pregame saying we don't know him, but once he's in the game, I think he's gonna be fine. I'm not that concerned for Rizzo.
Do you have the starting tribe up?
Yes. Let me read it off.
Yeah.
So it's Colby, Kyle, Q, Angelina, Aubrey, Genevieve, Stephanie.
Yeah, he's the least threatening person on that tribe.
Like, if they get Genevieve and Kyle are going to be more new era threats. And again, you could say devil you know versus devil you don't know. Genevieve's a devil.
Yeah, you know. Either way.
Kyle's a devil you know. Like, that, you can't just assume Rizzo's worse or more threatening than those two players. And then it's also maybe a louder, more chaotic tribe. This is the Angelina Q tribe too. So how does he fit in there socially? Probably pretty well. Like, I think he's a pretty amicable guy, like younger energy. I think he'll fit in with his tribe. We could be saying this and they're like, well, let's just get Rizzo out because we don't know him. Easy vote first.
And the other thing that he really has working in his favor is Q mentioned Aubrey by name as somebody he wouldn't want to see win the game, right? So Q versus Aubrey is going to happen. Kyle, like you already said, is a bigger threat. Genevieve's a bigger threat. So you can be worried about Rizzo, but why? Like once you get to talk to him, Russell, I mean, that was also the thing, right? When Russell comes out for Heroes versus Villains, he's on the Villains tribe, and then he's a total sociopath. Like, Rizzo's not going to give that energy. And especially if you've been watching the new era, look at the people that Jeff picked to come back from the new era. They're all fun, happy-go-lucky type characters. Even the bigger strategists are still like over the top, fun, positive for the community, positive for Survivor. Like, there's no villains here. Emily Flippin's a villain, but Emily Flippin's the villain who's drinking wine, eating cheese. Everybody loves that. Like, it's not like he went and found, you know, they left out Shan. They left out your Ricards. Like, they left out these players who could be seen as more legitimate villains from the show. And so I don't think you're as scared of Rizzo once he starts talking. I think that's huge. And, you know, what do you think? Is it better for him if Savannah survives anything on this season? Or is it better for him if Savannah just goes and he can just play his own game? Or do you think that it helps him to have the winner of the season here?
I don't know. I mean, if they get swapped onto the same tribe and they're both still in the game, think people could look at them as a duo. But I mean, they just, because Savannah is going to say they, like, Savannah won, and she doesn't have to explain her whole game or how she won, that like Savannah and Rizzo were this duo basically since day one. They don't have to let that go. They can even pretend they don't like each other. But, you know, Sandra always says it doesn't matter how much they work together, how much they got along at their original season. There's just some bond with your original cast members, and the people they're going to kind of get together regardless of what happened on their initial season. So people might, I don't know. I think it's probably better if Savannah is out of the picture, but maybe if we merge, and we might merge big, we don't know what our merge number is. I know 13 has kind of been the sweet spot, 12 or 13. we might be merging at 14 or 15. Like, we don't know.
Yeah.
And maybe having Savannah there, and they can check each other, they can feed each other info. But I mean, hard to imagine a world where Savannah makes the merge, unless it's just a challenge, unless she just like one of these tribes that doesn't go to tribal council. But you and I have talked enough. We think have an immunity challenge, two tribes that lose, you're both going.
Well, what's crazy is now supposedly that's not the case every time. That is what the what, word so is.
I'm not up to date on like format stuff. Has that at all been talked about in the preseason press?
A little bit. I haven't looked too much into the format stuff, but there is format stuff where they're saying not every week is it going to be two tribes going to tribal, which I think is insane. I don't know how they're going through the season.
Then. Well, I think for the first one, it probably should. I mean, they did that in, again, we always talk about season 41, episode one, the first episode of the new era. They use that format. And I think it's a pretty strong way to do a premiere because you get to know both tribes. You have conflict on like two of the three tribes and you're starting to play the game versus just letting one happen. Then you get a disaster tribe and then we see the same tribe go over and over. Like, it pushes people to make decisions and write someone's name down, you know, 2 days into the season. And if they do it only, they only need to do it two or three times pre-merge to kind of catch up.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I mean, because we know when the finale is. Like, the finale has already been announced as what, May? I have the calendar right here. May 20th is the finale. So we're getting a normal episode.
It's the same. Number. Yeah. It's the same schedule. Yeah. I don't know. What does it have to do with Rizzo again? I don't know.
Well, because you were talking about how Savannah would be able to survive to make it to the merge and even get with Rizzo. Like, I'm assuming there's probably going to be a tribe swap of some sorts. But for them to get to a merge, Savannah's not going to be able to just survive. Like, she could be in more danger. Oh, if they just keep winning immunity challenges, she's not in danger. But if two tribes are going, even
yeah, that some gets of the way time, that gets way less likely. I mean, again, it's probably better if Savannah's just gone, especially. Yeah. You know, these are big starting tribes, or the biggest we've seen in 10 seasons.
Which is
so insane. Yeah, eight people in one tribe. Whoa, giant tribe alert. Like, word's gonna get out that Savannah's the winner, and that will ideally take heat off Rizzo.
Yeah. All right, so let's take a look at some of these Rizzo things. Rizzo, youngest player on season 49. Now he's the youngest player on Survivor 50. He's the first player. He's the second player to be the youngest player on two seasons. Do you know who the other person is?
That's a good question. Youngest player on. I don't know. Didn't even really.
Maraska.
Jenna Maraska. Okay, that makes sense.
Right, because she's 21 on her first season. She comes back a year later. She's 22 on a season where she didn't age, but everybody else did. So it makes sense, right? So yeah. Rizzo's the first person there in a very similar situation, even though Jenna didn't play back-to-back. She's playing one calendar year later. So essentially the same situation here. And him, so I talked about this on the Savannah one with Blake. Him, Russell, Malcolm, Michaela, Zeke, Sari, and Savannah are the only players to play back-to-back seasons. Now, Sari's obviously doesn't count because it's Australian Survivor into this, which is
so. Oh, I was going to say that. I was thinking, what's the Sari season? Yeah. I'm like, was Micronesia right after Panama or was that what?
Yeah, no. And so I don't know why that one's even listed on here, but what do you think about with the others? Savannah, Malcolm, Russell, Michaela, Zeke, and now Rizzo. We've seen players kind of land all over the map playing back-to-back seasons. What's your ceiling for Rizzo, I guess, is the best way to ask that.
I'll give him winning ceiling. That's like, I'm not going to sit here and say just because no one's seen a season, he can't win. I mean, we saw Russell get to final tribal council without his season ever airing. Wait, you said Stephanie? I feel
sorry. That's the caveat here is that it was before their season aired. So it's seven people played back to back before their season aired.
What about Rupert?
So they were playing their second season before it aired. No, because that was back when they filmed it normal. So Pearl Islands had filmed and they announced on the All-Stars reunion that Rupert was going to be back, or on the Pearl Islands reunion that Rupert was going to be back.
Right.
And then they went out.
I mean,
so that was the caveat there. Sorry.
We've seen it spray again. Like, I don't want to sit here and say Rizzo can't win 50. I think he can. I think once the game starts, once he builds relationships, like the 49 thing is just going to, it's not going to bite him in the ass. When we saw Malcolm fit in really well, and Malcolm is a very similar, maybe, you know, Malcolm's probably the more bro-y surfer dude, charming guy. But I wouldn't put them so far apart. I mean, I remember we did the 49 cast assessment and we're like, whoa, Rizzo's tall. And like Rizzo's athletic, like Rizzo, like, whereas, you know, the 48 preview we saw, I thought it was going to be, we said it, we thought it was going to be more of a Cochran-esque character, like a super fan nerd character. And it wasn't that. He's extremely social. He's extremely likable. And maybe the Malcolm game is what he could do. Now, Malcolm obviously doesn't win that season and he kind of gets his legs chopped off halfway through, you know, Three Amigos and ruining his chance with playing two idols at once. Not smart, but like Malcolm was in there. I don't know why they have to immediately say we just can't play with Rizzo.
Yeah, I it's funny because when we were talking about this over the summer, I mean, what did we do? We did 22 other podcasts of this over the summer, 24 defining episodes, all those different episodes we did, you know, weekly, whether it was Tribe Breakdown or Cast Reaction or whatever. And then we did the whole entire season of 49. After watching Rizzo, I think during that whole time, we were saying, well, Rizzo and Savannah are in a lot of trouble. Now, I don't feel that way with Rizzo. I feel like Savannah's in a lot of trouble. But after watching Rizzo's game, and also I think what helps Rizzo is this is a guy who played not necessarily with his back as much against the wall as Savannah's was, but he wasn't good at challenges. He can't do a puzzle to save his life. And he had this idol the whole time that everybody knew about. It was a very public idol. And yet he was able to hold it because of his social game. And I think the fact that his social game is what took center stage in that season and helped him get from he should have been voted out at 10 or 9 or 8 or 7. And now he's sitting at final four with a chance to make fire to get to final three. I think that that social game really helps him. And I think how close him and Savannah and Sophie were, if he can find two other players who are willing to play that type of a close, tight-knit game, that can work. And he's out there with Kyle, right? Who played that exact game. He's out there with Colby, who played that exact game. Those are the types of people where actually you're coming into the same, man, Rizzo might have gotten a good draw on the Tribe, which when you first looked at it, you said, I don't know, maybe he's in trouble, but he might have gotten a really good draw here.
Yes. And about this idol, I don't know if you ever, you cracked it. I'm trying to remember your exit interviews, but like we had posited all season, is this Xander 2.0? Mm-hmm. And we kept giving Xander credit for not playing his idol. I'm like, wow, the stone's on Xander. Tribal after tribal holds this thing. And then Xander gets to final three, doesn't get any votes. We're like, huh? I thought he was a threat. I thought he was playing a good game. He seems likable. He seems smart. He had a pulse of the game. He knew he wouldn't not play his idol. And I don't think Rizzo, I don't want to put Rizzo in that boat, but did we get a clocking of the jury on like if it was Savannah versus Rizzo? Like what were Rizzo's chances to beat Savannah? Or if Savannah's not sitting there, is he beating the other two members of the final? Like is he winning if he gets there?
So what he told me was Sophie might have actually beaten him and Savannah because him and Savannah might have split some votes and people might have been more frustrated with them. But what ultimately ended up happening was people were so frustrated with Sage. Now I'm kind of paraphrasing, but it's like people were so frustrated with Sage that it just became Savannah versus Sophie. Whereas if him and Savannah had gotten there, there might have been a little bit more negativity next to them. From what he said, and I think even Savannah might agree with this, it seems like the Sophie, Savannah, Rizzo would have really been wide open because they all played almost the exact same game. And so if you start going, well, Rizzo gets these votes because he held the idol. Savannah gets these votes because she won a bunch of immunities. But I don't want to vote for Rizzo or Savannah because they annoyed me. Sophie Bellarity had a good final tribal. I'm going to give her the votes. That could have been like a 3-2-2 type vote, at least based on what what I kind of got the vibe of. He was in it, though. Like Xander was never in it.
Right.
Rizzo was absolutely in it. And if he does the proper final tribal, I think he very well could win that game. And I think Rizzo has the personality that he could have a proper final tribal.
Okay. So he wasn't like, oh, no one took Rizzo seriously. He was a go. Everyone knew he had the idol, but no one wanted to vote for him because they knew he'd be easy to beat in the end. There wasn't that narrative going on.
No.
So he was, yeah. I think there's a great comment here by James Barber. And I actually had thought about this too, especially he's the youngest player back seasons. I guess at least 26 isn't super young. But James Barber says, with a potential older jury, I don't know if he could get enough votes, similar to the Cambodia jury. I do think that is a good point. Like, he'd have to sit next to people that maybe don't have kids or aren't, like, for whatever reason, their game is just not taken seriously at all. Like, maybe a Troyzan-esque game and Game Changers. And the fact that no one's seen his original game, it's almost like, do we trust that he is a competent Survivor player even? Because sometimes you see people get to Final Three, it's like, okay, they just lucked in there. And you can tell by the storytelling and the confessionals and, you know, whether they get the votes or how many jury votes they get, if they were even like worthy of this title or worthy of being this notable player and notable for a spot on 50. And I think with the cast as it is, and we've talked a lot about maybe some issues, like they went character on a lot of people. And is there this sentiment that Rizzo is this, he calls himself the Riz God. He's goofy. He's tall, lengthy guy. He loves Survivor, but he's the someone to be taken seriously as a potential winner of a monumental season that this big. He's really young. Do we want to award him $1 million? Like, is he someone who can carry the torch of winning season 50? And that might be an uphill battle should he get to final three. It would really depend on who is he sitting next to and what are the games of everybody. And, you know, what's his game? Did he, you know, get himself there by taking big risk, playing hard, playing wise, building good relationships? Or was he kind of carried as someone not to be taken seriously? I want to think this whole time, and I want to think during 49 that, like, I'm a big fan of Rizzo's game. I think he played an awesome game. He gave great confessionals. He knew what he was doing. He swayed a lot of votes. But does that come across to 23 other people who have never seen him play, or at least 22 with Savannah? And I don't even know. Like, that was a question we had all of season 49. Is this translating? Is he going to be able to convince people that he's actually very, very good at this game? Or is he the silly, goofy Riz God? Like, that's maybe the holdup there.
And here we have Braden Sanning. People like Chrissy have said she doesn't want to vote for a 26-day player to win. So, you know, this is exactly what happened in All-Stars, right? Jenna Lewis came in and said, the winners have had their chance, and I'm going to create this army. And all the winners go home. Really, every winner goes home in the pre-merge. And there were certain players that these players just knew they couldn't beat. Like Jenna Lewis, no matter how good of a game she plays, isn't going to sit at final two against Richard Hatch and beat him. Richard Hatch is going to beat Jenna Lewis in that situation. And there are people like that on this cast, right? Like, we always talk about, it seems like somebody always unexpected wins these returning player seasons. You know, you had Parv, who wasn't coming in with, like, you know, a lot from Cook Islands when you compare it to Amanda, James, people who everybody had just seen.
Oh, Parv was a big threat, though.
Parv was a big threat, but I think what it came down to, there weren't winners there. And I think Parv, like, Sari was a bigger threat than Parv. I think Amanda was a bigger threat than Parv. I think Fairplay was definitely a bigger threat. Yao Man was a bigger threat. Like, there were bigger threats. Now, right. Parv gets to the end against one of those people and beats her anyway, because Parv played good enough of a game and gave a good enough of a pitch at the end to win the game. Amber pretty much was coming in drawing dead, went to the end with the right person. Everybody knew that it was kind of a toss-up anyway, so what are you going to do? Sandra, unexpected winner, even though she had won a game already. You sat there and you said, who can Sandra beat? I don't know if she can beat a Sari, a Rupert, a Parvati. Well, she beat a Parvati, right? You're kind of surprised by that a little bit. But people had also seen Sandra win a season before, and so you feel good about giving a winner another win. You have... what do you call it? Tony beating Michelle and Natalie. Could Michelle ever win season 40? I don't know, because coming into that season, a lot of people are just thinking negatively about her. And I don't know if they're going to be willing to say, oh, biggest win we've ever had. People always talk about All-Stars as, well, it's cool, but Amber won. No way. You know, and I don't think you want that with 40. So with 50, I think Rizzo, I think you're, like you said, there's a lot of characters here. So there are people he can absolutely beat, but he's coming in. He can't beat Sari, right? Like, I don't know if anybody can. He right. probably can't.
Yeah, no. Sari gets the end.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how you don't vote for it. Even if you're like, you didn't play a good game in 50, you played like three other good games and you got screwed over in all of them. So we're just going to give you, it's like giving Leo the best actor award for The Revenant, even though it's like one of his worst performances. It's like, how have you not won one already? Let's just give this one to you.
Yeah.
You slept exactly. in a horse. Cool. Or yeah. a bear.
It was a bear. Come on, man. Revenant's cool.
I thought that was like the most overrated performance. Like, he did a good job.
Performance is overrated. I love the movie, though. I think
the movie's fun. Oh, it's a good movie. It's really well shot. It's like awesome. But like, Leo is one of the best like fast talking line delivery person, like actors ever, the way he speaks, and he doesn't get to speak. He just to go like this. He goes, he just grunts.
The movie is the directing. But anyway, talking about Rizzo again, getting back to that, I hear what you're saying. And so, like, I don't know what Michelle could have ever won 40. And coming into this, who can Rizzo beat? Like, if you're looking at it now, who is actually somebody that if Rizzo plays a perfect game, like plays a great game, that they're going to be willing to give him the win over and take into account who he beat and who he played against? Like, because Saria, it doesn't matter what he does. He can't beat Saria at the end. It's not going to happen. So who can he beat?
Okay. I mean, we can go through it. I think anyone, like if he's sitting next to two new era players, why are any of the two new era players automatically going to have a better chance than him?
What about D. Kyle Savannah? A two-time potential winner. Do you think he has a chance against any of them?
Sure. I think it depends on the game. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he absolutely. I think people are like, don't want to award two-time winners. I think that's a very protective thing. It's like, we only have two of them. And yes, we only have two of them. Not three of them. There's two of them. And then you look at some of these, again, it's we want to say it's Survivor 50, it's Legends. You look at some of the casting choices. It's like, I know Coach is a legend, and Coach is my winner pick. I'm rooting for Coach to win. That's what I want to happen. But if Coach is closer to OG Coach or even South Pacific Coach who lost to Sophie, could you see people saying Coach is too coachy? Rizzo is the better player. I mean, I think that's a little bit of a stretch. It's harder for me to wrap my head around or seeing that happen, but I wouldn't rule it out. Like I said, Angelina touted for her gameplay and strategy? No, she's a huge character and we want to see her play. Someone like Chrissy and Devins, like again, those two, it's like those aren't.
And like, Chrissy's already lost.
Those aren't, yeah. In like Chrissy and Devins, those aren't your Cerise. Like those I wouldn't even put into like legend categories. So I think those are people that have like only had one chance to play and people want to see them back. Sure. That's very different than Cerise. So maybe like, I don't know, Ozzy again, legend, but Ozzy's lost a final tribal count. Mike White, like he's coming from the old school technically. Are we really going to vote for a like multi-millionaire to win? I don't know.
And I know she lost, but I think Rizzo probably comes into this game not being able to beat Aubrey and not being able to beat Sari. Those are probably the only two players. I think if he plays a better game than Colby, why not?
Colby?
I think people are so out on Colby after his heroes versus villains game that he would have to play a really good game. Like he would have to take initiative and lead some things. He can't play the passive Colby kind of, I'm just here, whatever, we'll get there. You know, he'd have to play a similar to Australia game, win some challenges, be impactful and feel like he's changed. Because I think that if he comes out and he plays Sleepy Colby, Superman in a fat suit, he's not winning. He would lose if somebody plays a better game, if he gets dragged. I mean, we saw it with Spencer, right? It felt like if Spencer gets to the end, great. And I know Jeremy was there, but like, I don't know if Spencer beats anybody in that final six or final seven of that season. So, right. You know, and that was unexpected. So I think Riz God can beat Jenna. I think he can beat Colby. I think he can beat Steph. I mean, I think Stephanie is one of those who has lost some of her appeal as time has gone on. Actually, the one person I think he would have a hard time against, and this is going to sound crazy to you because I know you hate this, I think he'd have a really hard time beating Joe. I think that Joe is somebody that this older skewing cast would really appreciate.
But Joe would really have to play a different game, and I'm open to it. But like, you wouldn't, if you took Joe's 48 game and Rizzo's 49 game, even with the family thing and the age, I think Rizzo's winning.
See, now I'm feeling better about Rizzo. We got our fantasy draft tonight, everybody, and I'm feeling so good about Rizzo. Will, you've convinced me. You should have kept this all to yourself. Now I'm like, man, is Rizzo an early pick? Because there really shouldn't be a target.
I mean, there will be some. Again, I feel it's one of those things where it's like, if he survives the first tribal council of his tribe, like give him one tribal council where he votes correctly. And then I think he makes the merge. But if they're like, we don't know his game, let's get him out first, that's your concern.
That's your concern. No, that makes sense. I mean, that's totally fair. And I just go back to looking at like his questionnaire and stuff, and then we'll wrap this one up. But like, you know, in his questionnaire from 49, he was saying David Wright is who he identifies with and he wants to play like JT. You play like JT, you're taking big swings, right? I mean, and I think he did play like JT a little bit in that season. It was hard for him to get into the total power position, but he was taking big swings. He was taking big risks, just like JT did. Now, JT's risk didn't work for him the second two times, but it worked for Rizzo the first time. So I think there is a little bit of potential for Rizzo to maybe overplay himself out of the game. If he feels like, oh, I got to make more magic happen so I can win. And we've seen that happen in returning player seasons where there's the people with the chip on their shoulder who know they have to make the move and they have to do the great things to win. And they don't want to just get third or fourth or fifth place. And then they ultimately get third or fourth or fifth place. We all sit there and go, oh man, they were great that season though, weren't they?
Right. Yeah. But I mean, Rizzo's going to play hard regardless. Mm-hmm. Like he's going to take the shot when he needs to.
Yeah.
It's not me. He's not Mitch.
That is, hey, Mitch was shooting. He just wasn't.
No, Mitch was still, Mitch is still on the island waiting to make his
move. He's making his move. I know. We get to watch. Mitch had tweeted the other day, like, you get to watch me make my move again next Friday.
So, why? What's he doing?
Icarus time.
What's that?
That's the episode where Shaheen goes home.
That's
the joke. He's like, hey, Mitch's big move. It's coming again. But yeah, I'm happy for Rizzo after watching him play. Like, obviously, all you can do is kind of like make fun of and mock beforehand because you're like, why are there two 49 players on this?
But I'm more happy with the 49 players than the 48 players. At least 49 was a somewhat enjoyable season.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with you. I still think it's crazy, but it's like, you know, Rizzo's such a fan. He's going to come out. And you know what the thing is, too? Like, Rizzo's going to know this game. And Colby always says, and he said it back in Heroes Villains, like, I want to find somebody who gets the game. I want to go and work with them. Maybe he ends up working with Rizzo because Rizzo knows.
I would love a Rizzo Colby alliance.
Be incredible. And he would keep saying Riz God, which is all I want Colby to say. God, I'm so excited for that. All right. That's it for everything you need to know about. That's it for the whole series. We did it. We finished.
That's it. That's everything you need to know about season 50.
That's it. That's everything. Like this video, subscribe to the channel. We'll be back again tonight, 9 p.m. after the episode, The Martyr Approach, to talk about The Martyr Approach. If you haven't checked out last night's episode of If It Smells Like a Rat, Give It Cheese, go check that one out. McKenna and I also did an Australian Survivor Redemption cast assessment where we knew nothing about the players because they don't do really good releases like the U.S. does. And then after we're done with The Martyr Approach, Will's back on here. Will, Blake, and myself, we will be drafting our fantasy teams. And the fantasy game is open for top tier patrons. And so we'll have a link in there tonight. Or no, we won't have a link in there, but if you become a top tier patron, we'll have a link over at the top tier patronage where you can join the fantasy game with a chance to win some prizes. So excited for that. Fantasy game should be fun because we all have our favorites. Part of me is like, do I just take Q first or Angelina first just to ruin Blake's life? And I know he's not going to listen to this episode. And I know that would make him so mad if he doesn't get them on his team. So I don't know. Maybe we have to strategize that way, Will.
Yeah. You go do that, Phil. You take them.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But Will's over here like, I want the winners. I don't want Angelina and Q. But all right, everybody. Well, thank you so much for listening. Thanks for checking out this series. If you want to check out the other episodes, do it before 2 weeks from now. Bye, everybody.
See ya.